Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. The lovely Kimberly Parker Green.
Thank you, darling.
Is on Berg Vivant today. How's it going?
It's crazy right now. We are in the middle of tech, and we're figuring it all out, and we're all crazy anyway, so it's been fun and challenging.
And this is, of course, Bare Bones Productions. You will be approaching the iconic role of Nurse Ratched.
The big nurse.
In One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yes, sir.
Now, I have to share this with folks, and we will layer this over the video. I mean, it was worth it alone for you to get this kind of press. I mean, this is amazing.
Honestly, I don't think anyone is happier than my four-year-old son.
She's so wicked. But, you know, I want to talk to you today about this classic character, who, by the way, I was reading up on her. I think a few years ago there was a poll for a film magazine, and they rated her the number two villainous of all time.
Yes.
Second to, like, the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yes.
Now, I got to tell you, it's been easily 15 years since I have seen a production of this play or the film. And I don't remember her being that awful. Like, I kind of was like, oh, well, that's reasonable behavior in that situation.
And in that time period.
Yeah.
Certainly. Yes, it's been very interesting trying to kind of commingle my current personal association with feminism and mental health with this play that is some different material from a completely different time. So we really, we explored everything, and Melissa's been very gentle but also firm in helping me to find that balance and when to lean into the kind of Disney villainess aspect of it, and how to incorporate just the sense of rightness, right? Because you can't judge your character. So it's been important for me to figure out when she's resorting to putting walls up to protect herself, really.
Right, right.
She is the only woman in this world, and it must have cost her a great deal to get where she is, especially with knowing that no one respects her. I mean, you have to have an iron fist, but yeah, she's very iconic, and the fact that it's on HBO right now, and it's been
just in time.
People have opinions.
So for those who aren't familiar with it at all, I mean, just to put it simply, she is the nurse in charge of a ward of patients with varying degrees of mental disability. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Yeah, she is the head nurse. She's a psychiatric nurse. She's been trained and supposedly working at the top of her field for 20 years. And we have all types of gentlemen that are in the ward. And what's interesting about the play is that many of them are self-committed. Or they're, you know, they're not committed. They are there by choice. And that, to me, speaks a great deal to how far we have come, even though we have much further to go, in creating a community wherein people with depression or bipolar issues, manic depression, can sort of now be supported, whereas in 1960 they would have needed to be somewhere safe.
Right.
And we have some lovely actors, and the full range. Manic depression, bipolar, hallucinations brought on by experimental drugs in the war. So it's been sobering, but also kind of encouraging.
So am I not completely alone then, that I'm not the only one that's not really ever seen her as a villain?
No.
But then again, I'm the kind of guy that watches Whatever Happened to Baby Jane like it's a comedy. So,
speaking of which. It's not.
You've got great Betty Davis eyes going on here. This is so.
Bless your heart.
I think I need you to autograph this for me. I'm going to frame it and put it down in my bar. This is just like, I think one of the best.
That is the fanciest thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah. Well, how does she measure up to some of the roles that you've had in the past?
Well, it's cool for me because I'm finally transitioning into my type,
which is evil, maniacal, domineering
bitch villainous. Yes.
Congratulations,
yes.
You've made
Thank
it.
Thank you so much. Cheers. I think it's time.
I'll drink to that.
Okay. Yes. So back to topic.
Yes.
I have just kind of. It was hard for me when I was younger because I've got the blonde hair and the big eyes, but I was never really an ingenue. So I had a rough go of it when I was younger, and now that I get to play women, it's really fruitful and fun for me. And I don't view her as a villain. I can't, but even in the sense of the play, I think that that's the way the men view her because mm-hmm. of the hierarchy. And also the blatant misogyny
yeah.
that is in the script and that we all know about. But yeah, I mean, it's a departure for me because the closest I've ever come to really being this strong is in comedy stuff. Mm. Or, you know, I did Element OP at City.
Oh.
And many would argue that Michaela was a villainess. but I think she was a really broken person who was kind of, again, hiding behind some very well-created walls.
Yeah.
Which I can relate to. I think a lot of people have to do that.
So here's a tricky question
okay.
for you.
All right.
What do you feel that you personally may share in common with
the big nurse?
Yeah. Anything?
I mean, of course, yes. I think that's one of the reasons I love being an actor is that you can be all of the things that we aren't allowed to be in the world, right? I think anyone is capable of anything, and I find it. Oh, this is going to make me sound crazy, but I find it really interesting to kind of step into someone who is, described as a ball cutter from way back to kind of come in and take charge of this room. And, you know, I think that the parallel there for me is my recent kind of turn as something of an authority figure as a mom and as a professor, sometimes needing to take the reins. And also feeling very, very misunderstood. Hmm. I think Nurse Ratched is, in a lot of ways, very misunderstood. I think she cares very deeply for her patients, especially Billy Bibbit, and she's very threatened by McMurphy. I mean, he comes into a really controlled atmosphere and jeopardizes not only her control, but the mental health of all of these men who have been, yes, sedated, yes, cowed in many ways, but are doing better.
Yeah.
So I can relate to being misunderstood and to kind of having to flex it every once in a while.
Well, you mentioned being a mom. How many kids do you have?
I have two kids.
How old?
My son is 4 and a half and my daughter is 21 months.
So will they be coming to see this performance?
No. They are. My son is very excited to come and see the set, and he is anxious for me to do something that he can come see, but...
Soon
possibly,
enough.
Possibly. Yeah, it'll happen.
Good. So I think you've blended those two worlds nicely.
Maybe a better way of putting it is that I get to exercise some of my inside feelings in the voice that I can't use mm-hmm. with my children.
Yeah.
Because you can't talk to
kids. Well, yeah, like you said, step into it and then, you know,
right,
at the end of the day,
bring it all in.
Is it therapy?
Absolutely. I mean, I personally also have a real therapist because all art can't be therapy. The lines can get blurred really easily.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome to get to come and behave inappropriately and scream and yell and thrash. I mean, that's a gift.
Actors get away with a lot.
Yes, we do. Did you read Mindy Kaling's book?
No, what is it called?
Actually, the second one. The first one is Everybody Hanging Out With Me, and then the second one, the name escapes me. It'll come to me in like 5 minutes, and I'll interrupt you saying something else. I promise. But she talks about how actors are the only people who are completely allowed to cheat on their husbands and wives. And, you know, like in the context of a script, that's completely safe. And she kind of breaks the myth of, you know, Hollywood actors are always saying, oh, you don't feel anything, and it's so awkward. And she says, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is fun to make out on stage. I personally never get cast in the makey outy roles. That's my husband, but.
So your husband is an actor as well.
Of course, yes.
Do you guys compete?
Oh, yeah. We fight all the time. No. No, I mean, our paths don't cross very often in terms of projects.
We need to get a company to, like, cast you both together. But then, like, who's going to be at home, you know? Like, you kind of need...
Well, we'd have to be one of those, like, very open-minded Grotowski theaters where, like, Grotowski, the kids can come and, like, be in the space. <I love it>. Please?
And they're going to have so many mementos. Again, I just can't go back. Who did the photography for this? This is wonderful.
We had a lovely time. I had my fantastic victory rolls and spot-on makeup.
And this the crown of thorns,
well,
too, is such an amazing touch.
It is amazing. And I will say, it's CGI. It's Photoshop. It was in
post. They really didn't put barbed wire around.
I kind of wanted them to, but that's a personal thing that should probably not be in the interview.
So, I mean, and this will be your look for the show, right?
That is a great question that we are going to explore in more depth tonight. I am hopeful. I paid very close attention. I'm one of those nerdy actresses that wants to learn how it all happens.
Well, you know, because it's similar to the, is it Louise Fletcher?
Yes, sir.
It's similar to her.
The Academy Award winning.
Right, won the Oscar for this. It's a little similar to her look. And, mm-hmm. You know, I read this too, that they designed it very retro.
Yes.
Because they wanted to give the impression that life stopped for her long ago.
Yes, that's exactly right and completely true. And she doesn't have the time, the energy, the wherewithal, the give a shit to go seeking out new hairstyles. Yeah. You know, I think she literally lives in the hospital, you know?
Yeah.
So when is she going to flip through the pages of Vogue or Red Book or whatever or order... She wears her uniform everywhere. I was actually talking with Melissa today. Her grandmother was a nurse in the 50s, 60s, and she said, there are pictures of my grandmother on picnics, dates with my grandfather, and they're both in their hospital whites.
Wow.
And I remember saying to her, Grandma, why didn't you change clothes? And she kind of intimated that that was not only they were always on call, but the element of wanting to display your place in society at all times.
Kind of like a military uniform.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah,
absolutely.
Or a sports jersey, although everybody wears those.
Yes, now. But absolutely, yeah. So this idea that she's kind of always put together, which is not like me at all.
And then if we're lucky enough, we can have a little pocket version.
Teeny tiny scary Kim.
We can have Nurse Ratched in our wallets, you know, if we need that morning jolt, you know, just open up your wallet, like, oh, there, that's what I need.
Well, Nurse, right, you can put it on your little bathroom mirror, right. Get intimidated into whatever you need.
And I mean, I'm tickled by it, but really I'm just so impressed by, you know, by Bare Bones Productions. I mean, the marketing, the quality of the shows,
Patrick,
and this certainly is going to be right up there.
Marketing ninja. Mm-hmm. He is a jack of all trades in the truest sense. And he's just, he's like completely, you know, 100% committed to everything that he does, you know? I mean, and he's completely stressed out right now down in the theater. but he really, he does so much. And that was such a delightful experience. I mean, stem to stern, such a really, truly amazing experience as an actor.
And you'll be playing opposite him in this.
Yeah.
He's McMurphy.
He's McMurphy.
Another iconic role for him, because we saw him in Streetcar Named Desire recently.
He's not afraid. He's so brave that way.
He's a chameleon. He can just
He's
do
a
it
chameleon,
all.
And he's just like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take it by the horns. I admire that, because I feel a little nervous. People have their ideas.
Well, exactly. And I think it must be tough for him, and maybe for you as well, to... you know, make it, put your stamp on it, because everybody is so familiar with the Jack Nicholson and the Fletcher portrayal. Is it Fletcher? I keep thinking
Louise
Fletcher portrayal, again, because it's so iconic. So do you feel you're fighting against that at all, or is it kind of fresh start?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I'm trying to find a way to give the people what they want. And, like, find my own thing. And, it has. It's been a real challenge. I mean, I've thrashed and flailed a little bit, but I think that's great. I mean, I don't ever want to be the type of person that only does things that are easy.
Right.
I think when you get to that point, it's kind of like, well, what's the point of being
alive?
Right. You know?
So what has been the most difficult part of this role for you that's challenged you the most?
Finding a way to justify masking her emotional response, not only to the fury she feels when McMurphy disrupts the system, but to what eventually happens with Billy Bibbit. That is, it's heartbreaking. And I'm working with the lovely Nick Lehane, who has just been, he's one of those guys that, for me, you do a lot of shows and sometimes you're like, you're going to be a forever friend, you know?
Yeah.
I hope, Nick. But it's been such a treat, and he's just heartbreaking, and it's really hard to detach and refocus that as a means of kind of punishing McMurphy. That's been really hard for me.
Yeah.
So I hope I do it right.
Well, you're in great company. I mean, as you said, you know, Nick Lehane, Derek Walton, Wally Jamal, John Gresh. I mean, this is an all-star cast. Erica Strasberg.
It is. The young Megan. Megan Yonko has been just kicking ass, double cast.
Leandro Cano.
Awesome.
Randy Kovitz.
Yeah.
Everybody is
in it. It's a veritable Pittsburgh theater smorgasbord.
Right. And Pittsburgh theater is sometimes like a loony ward, you know? So this is
I'm
great.
I'm going
to
have a drink.
Yes. Yeah, I'm allowed to say that. But really looking forward to it, of course, here at the new Hazlett.
Yes, which is opening. Such an awesome space.
Oh, yeah, it's the way it's almost, it's such a high, it's, almost cavernous kind of.
It is, and it's very, I mean, I've seen shows here, but this is my first performance in the space, and it's nice. It's really great. I'm a theater nerd, so I get really excited.
Oh, good. I mean, that's a good thing to be. I mean, I sometimes feel that way, too.
Good.
Although, you know, I don't get to Broadway. You know, I'm not into the musicals that much. I think it's changed
so much. It has.
It's so plastic and commercial.
Jukebox, American Idol.
And even shows right now that people rave about, and I'm not going to name names because I get hell whenever I do this.
You better watch them.
Well, right. Whenever people raving about them, then I'll listen to the soundtrack and I'll be like, really? You know, this is, it's... Broadway, I mean, the American musical was an American art form, and I think we're really seeing it morph.
Yes.
For a lot of reasons, commercial and otherwise.
Well, and I think, I mean, I will name names because I have been largely disconnected from musical theater for years, ever since I decided not to go to musical theater school. And when I did finally put on Hamilton, I had a really... true emotional response, and I was excited. I was excited by the different sounds. I'm very personally committed to diversity, inclusivity, different types of performers being able to tell stories, because I think that we're all imagining anyway. So why does it matter?
I
think that we're seeing this really, I personally feel that the American theater is changing a great deal, and that we're seeing this kind of like resurgence of regional theater, new plays, new playwrights. So many more people, you know, with the Kilroy's list kind of looking to female playwrights and playwrights of diverse backgrounds. So
yeah.
I find it to be a really exciting time not to be in New York anymore.
Right.
Well, I really like it a lot.
On that note, let me ask you this, because you're relatively new to Pittsburgh.
Yes.
4 years, I think you've been
three,
here.
Yeah.
Three, going on
I,
four.
I said four the other day, and my husband was like, three.
Yeah. Wishful
Whatever.
Thinking,
I'm
I guess.
Blonde. I don't know.
So you've been in Pittsburgh for 3 years. So what is your opinion of the Pittsburgh theater scene?
There are so many exciting things happening, and I think... I'm really grateful that I was able to be incorporated. I really kind of hounded people. I emailed Carla Boos immediately, and Anne-Marie Duggan, the chair of the theater department at Pitt, who gave me a job, and Sheila McKenna and everybody. I just sort of, Tammy Dixon, I emailed everybody. I went to see things, and I've been fortunate enough to work with Quantum and with City, and to kind of start chipping away. It's an exciting place to be. It's very insular, which I understand. I think it's really hard to build your own company and stay committed to wanting to create projects for yourself and to align with grant money.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's, you know, I'm meeting every day more artists that are leaving these cities that we can't afford to live in.
Yeah.
So I personally think that there's a tremendous potential. I mean, not to sound Pollyanna, I actually truly believe that. I meet so many people who are really talented and really excited to learn more. I love working with young people because they're fresh and they don't, you know, like I think we're going to see a lot of new exciting things happening over the next couple of years. And they're announcing the seasons, and
yeah,
they're doing a great new season at City. We get to see the work of Reg and Claire Drabot, who's their new literary person. Mm-hmm. I love dramaturgs, so... So that's my thought on Pittsburgh.
And from now on, I think just slap this down as your headshot and say
no
more.
That's what I said.
Like, you don't even need a resume.
You know what? I joked. I was like, this is going to go on my syllabus as a teacher from now on, just like this. And it'll be like, come to class.
Right. They let those kids know what they're dealing with
day one.
You
know, scare the hell out
of
them.
Just come in like that. Mm-hmm. So you're opening April 21st. The show runs through May 7th here at the New Hazlet.
Yep.
So we're wishing you well. And on that note, Berg Vivant has a very special gift for you, Nurse Ratched. This
That's
is a first aid kit.
Oh.
Okay, from Berg Vivant. And as such, of course, it has the essentials, vodka and gin. So this will get you through.
It'll get me through the run.
Your run.
It'll be fine.
And many more.
We don't have an equity deputy, so I think this is
Well, do we need to scrub that out? Or?
No, it's fine.
Well, you might be able to share that. I don't know. But isn't it the rule if you bring enough for everybody, it's okay?
No,
that's
no.
equity. It's
yes,
equal.
Yes, that is equity.
Think
that,
about that.
I will marinate on this. I'll think about it right now.
Well, cheers to you
cheers
and
to
all
you.
Your success,
Thank
Kim.
You.
Have a great run.
You.
Yes. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Berg Vivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.